Choir. So I want to welcome everybody. We're going to go ahead and get into the topic. Process. You are where you're supposed to be. A lot of times, you know, my generation, which is 30-ish, 40-ish, early 50 maybe, we don't like process. We don't like the word process. We don't like what it means, the connotations. We don't want process. We want a microwave solution. We want microwave results. We want to be president right now. We don't want to go through the process of being in the Senate or the Congress and serve two or three terms and do a bunch of legislation. We want to be the man, the woman. We want to be on point. We want to have everything now. We want to get married, and in the next 6 weeks, we want a $1 million house in Buckhead. We want brand new BMWs and Mercedes. We want to go on vacation to Hawaii, and we've been married a year. We want everything that takes process. We want it now. We've been trained that way. We grew up in the 80s. Everything was about getting it and getting it now. So when I thought about doing the topic of this Bible study, I can help some people to get back focused on the process, because you got to understand, you are where you're supposed to be. If you are following Christ, you believe in God, he told you that he was going to do X, Y, Z. He was going to take you from point A to B. He knows the plans that he has for you. And it's a process. And I can prove it's a process. Everything in the New Testament, in the Bible, even if you look at creation, is a process. Even though we have climate change where it's like we don't really have winters and we don't really have summers or springs, but in the natural order of things, it's a process. It goes from winter, spring, summer, fall. When Jesus talked about the kingdom of heaven, he described the kingdom of heaven in a process. What are you talking about? He described the kingdom of heaven in the parable of the sower in Matthew 13 and Mark chapter 4. Those are the two places I'm going to concentrate today as we try to understand the process. And so I'm going to give you a second. If you got a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, you can go on Google and you can Google any kind of Bible you want. Or if you're sitting next to somebody, ask your neighbor, can you look on the Bible? Can I look on your Bible? Okay. I'm going to prove to you that the kingdom of heaven is about process. And the process is illustrated by the parable of the sower, or the parable of the seed. Because the parable of the sower talks about the process of how seed is sown. So if you go to Mark chapter 4, Jesus tells the parable of the sower and talks about the process of how some seed is sown on good ground, other seed is on bad ground. But in each, even if the seed is sown on good ground, is a process that seed has to go through before it is able to produce fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. Jesus didn't say he sowed the seed and then the next day the seed grew and turned into an apple tree and had apples in 24 hours. There's a process. Jesus picked a natural phenomenon from nature, which is seeds that are planted in the ground. You can't see them. They're hidden. They go through a whole dormant process. They have to take root. It's dark. It's damp, wet. They have a process to grow, mature, and then produce fruit. And that's when Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower. It was explaining the process and how the kingdom of heaven operates. When he's talking about the parable of the sower and all the parables are a blueprint to show you how things work in the kingdom. Because a lot of times we have people tell me, people, preachers, prophets, evangelists, teachers, bishops, whatever the latest title is, you have people a lot of times telling people, change now, stop doing this, get out of that situation, move out of this situation, you need to walk on water and do this, you need to move out of this. And that's not for everybody in every situation, in every case, because you are where you're supposed to be. In the story of David, you look at David, he was anointed king from he was in the field, tending sheep. He wasn't even in the house with all his brothers who the prophet Samuel was coming to come look at to anoint as the next king. He was way out somewhere, you know, working at McDonald's, basically. He was out there tending sheep, and then next thing you know, he gets anointed at 15 years old, but then he has to wait like over 15 years before he becomes king. God had plans for him to be king. He anointed him as king at 15, and then he had to go through a process before he eventually became king over all Israel. He had to become king over Judah and then king over Israel. And it was over a 20-year process. Just because God tells you you're going to do this, you're going to have this business, you're going to have this career, you're going to walk in whatever vocation or calling, it doesn't mean it's going to happen and just manifest itself in a short period of time, because that's not how the kingdom works. The kingdom was illustrated by the parable of the sower. So let's go back. Mark chapter 4. Go back to the parable of the sower. And says, I'll just give you a couple of examples. When you look at that word in Mark 4:14, he says, he who is sowing is sowing the word. That word, or that seed, that word, and you break it down in the Greek, it means logos. It is a word from God. It could be a prophetic word. It could be a command or decree, but it's a word and instruction from God. In this particular sense, it has a dual meaning, because that seed also is represents Christ, and also which Christ is the kingdom. So when the parable of the sower, and he's talking about the word being sown in people's hearts, he's talking about the kingdom, he's talking about Christ, and the word, the instructions that he has for you as an individual. In each one of these cases, you see word is sown, but, and like it says, let's look at Mark 4:14. It says, and these are they that, by the way, the word is sown, and whenever they may hear, immediately cometh the adversary and take away the word that hath been sown in their heart. So when you get a word from God, whether it's through study or you hear from God or you hear some prophetic that you're going to do, Jesus is telling you in the process that the adversary is going to come immediately. It says immediately the enemy is going to come to try to take that word. I mean, let's look in the natural, because you got to look at the scripture in multiple phases. So Jesus uses the parable of the seed, which represents the word, which is the kingdom, which is God. In the natural, if any of you all have tried to plant seeds, what happens as soon as you plant seeds? Birds come, try to get the seed. Insects come, try to get the seed. That's part of the process. So when you get the word or the instruction from God, you got to understand, you got to expect, you got to know that the adversary is going to be coming to. Oh, you said it's constantly pausing. Facebook is tripping. The devil is tripping today. I need some of my church mothers, my intercessors, my prayer warriors. I need you all to intercede on Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook Live to get to stop pausing. And all you all that have Metro PCS, and I'm going to pray for an increase boost in your bandwidth, so it won't be paused. But as I was saying, the process, when you get that word of what you are called to do, the instructions, because it's important that whatever you get, yeah, that's right, iPhone 6, no problem. I'm on an iPhone 6 Plus, like the big one. The phone is so big, that I can't wear skinny jeans. So we're going to pray that it'll work. Now, if you're having problems on Facebook Live, this is also streaming on Blog Talk Radio. The link is in there, Blog Talk Radio, Church Folk Revolution. So you can also stream it from there as well. So back to the word, Mark 4:15. When you hear the word, the instructions of God, the order of God, the kingdom of God, what is he has specifically for you to do? The kingdom is all about obedience to what Christ wants you to do specifically. It may not look like what everybody else is doing. Everybody's going to have a different journey, a different instruction point, but it's not going to contradict the Bible. But you, your journey and your process is going to be unlike anybody else. But as I was saying, the duality in the word is that it says first things happen is that the enemy's going to try to come to take. Mark 4:16, it says, and these are they in like manner who on rocky ground are sown. What's sown? Word, the seed, the instructions, the kingdom of what God wants you to do. The plans of salvation and kingdom and your purpose in the earth is ultimately whatever he calls you to do. Your purpose is to bear fruit 30, 60, 100 fold in the earth. The fruit is more lives, more souls that come into the kingdom. Whether you're called to be a teacher, an entrepreneur, or whatever it is your role or purpose is, ultimately it is to be an ambassador and a witness. It's used for his purpose. Just like I'm talking of, which I'm going to get into with David in his process, his purpose was to become a king over God's people, to have them be subject to God's ways and give God glory and honor that way. So when we go back to Mark 4:16, it talks about the word being sown on rocky ground. That rocky ground is, he's talking about your heart. And so it says, these kind of people who hear the word, they immediately hear the word, and with joy they shout, they run, they flip up over the pews, they do backflips, they crying, they rolling. They have joy when they receive the word, but it doesn't take root in themselves. In verse 17, it's temporary, because after tribulation and persecution comes, because of the word, they stumble. So now you got to know part two. When God calls you to do something, he has a plan for you. Number one, it says the enemy's going to come immediately to try to take that word. Just like if you go out here today and go plant some seeds, the birds are going to come immediately to try to eat those seeds. Whether it's grass seeds, I've tried to try to reseed my lawn and birds show up, eat everything. So Jesus was speaking a parable that people could understand of what he was talking about when he was talking about process. So in this particular case, some people, they hear the word, they get excited, and then because of trials and tribulations, part two, if you hear a word, you get instruction, God has a call on your life, a purpose on your life, etc., you can expect the enemy to come. And then it says, number two, you can expect trials and tribulation and persecution. See, let's just pause right here. A lot of times in our church culture, we don't like trials and tribulations and persecutions, or when things don't look right, when you're on struggle street and God told you was going to be a professor in college, and you ain't graduated from high school yet. You got a GED and everybody's talking to you. Oh, maybe you should give that up. You shouldn't do that. It doesn't look right. It looks like you're making the wrong decisions. Why'd you make that decision? You're in the wrong place. And Jesus said, when you receive the word, you're going to have trials and tribulations. Because it says in verse 17, Mark 17, it says, tribulation or persecution because of the word. And most people, when the tribulation and persecution come, they get depressed and they give up. And then a lot of us, me included, when I used to be running from church to church and conference to conference trying to get a word, why was I trying to get a word? I can only speak to me. I was trying to get a word because I was trying to get a word to get up out of my situation because I was in process. I didn't like the process. So I was thinking if I can get the right conference to the right prophet, then somebody could tell me what I needed to do to get out of my process or out of my situation. And then a lot of times, a lot of unscrupulous pastors and prophets will tell you, well, if you sow a certain amount of money, then God will move you out of this situation. And this is not, that's not how it works. That's not how the kingdom works. That's not how seed works. When you think about seed, God's natural seed, it's a process. You got to prepare the ground. You sow the seed. You got to water the seed. You know, the seed is dark. It's dormant. It's abandoned. It doesn't look like nothing's happening. And that seed has to take root. If it doesn't take root, that's like it says in verse 17. It says in Mark, the people who hear the word don't have root in themselves. So it's temporary. And they get excited about getting a word from God, but they don't take root. Just like if you go plant seeds today, and if they don't take root, they're not going to grow. It's a process. And a lot of times people, anxious church people, will try to get you to abandon the process where you're in the ground, where you're dormant, where it doesn't look like anything, where there's nothing to be seen. There's nothing above ground. There's no fruit. Everybody gets disappointed or because it doesn't look like instant manifestation. Sometimes it takes a long time. I mean, you look at King David, which I'm going to get into later in this Bible study. David was anointed, like I said, as king at 15, but he didn't become king until 30. And then in order for him to be over all of Israel, it took a total of over 20-something years for that process to complete. David didn't, even though he got the word, he had to, at 15, he had to obey and submit to the process. It wasn't an overnight thing. And there are plenty of examples of the Bible where nothing happens overnight. Now, when you try to do it, you can make it happen overnight or you can make it speed up the process. Think about it. A lot of us are aware about GMO, genetically modified organism, genetically modified food, monosaccharide food. These are foods that they tinker with, toy with to speed up the process so that they can immediately produce food so the seeds can grow super fast and produce fruit. But we know if you eat GMO foods or, you know, processed foods or foods that's tampered with to grow fast, and it's going to damage you. You may get instant results of seed or instant chicken because we love chicken, so they got these chickens. They could just produce chickens overnight. But if you eat that genetically modified seed that hasn't gone through the proper ordained God process, it is going to damage you physically. And so God gives us these processes for a reason and a point. And so you can't, as the Bible say, don't despise small beginnings. You shouldn't let people despise your process. I use myself as an example. I used to do construction for the Department of Watershed for Atlanta, DeKalb County, and I hated doing that kind of work because I was outside all day. It was hot when it was hot. It was cold when it was cold. I used to ask God every day, when am I going to get out of these fields? I was literally in the fields, in the woods, where, you know, crews are replacing pipe and damaged pipe, putting in new pipe, digging in the trenches, replacing sewer lines, replacing water lines. We did all that for a period of 7 years. And I'm like, God, why do you have me out here? This is ridiculous. I graduated in marketing. What am I doing in construction management and engineering? I don't like doing this, but God had me do that for like 7 years. And that was back in 2001 to 2009, about 7.5 years, something like that. And I did that for that period of time, not knowing the purpose and the point and the plan in doing that. And so you fast forward to 2016, I have my own nonprofit that deals with sustainability. We deal with green technology. We deal with climate change. And one of the issues that is most important right now is water security and infrastructure. The same thing I was doing way back in 2001, which I hated doing, didn't understand why God had me out there doing watershed management. One of the major issues now, 16 years later, is water security. I have my own company. That's what we do. That's what we focus on. But I didn't know what the plan was. I didn't know, why God had me out there back then. But now the process has shown that was the point of it. So you can't have people tell you, oh, why are you doing that? You shouldn't be doing that. You need to be doing this. You need to be walking in this. Oh, if you trust God and if you're obedient to God, that's the key. That's the key. So I'm gonna switch it up real quick because I think I need to get this point in. We're talking about David, and David was anointed to be king at the age of 15. And the present king was King Saul. King Saul was chosen. And so let me look at that. Let's look 1 Samuel 16. And if you look at 1 Samuel 16, there's like a couple of things I want to pull out real quick. Now, when God decided to change from King Saul to a new king, the main reason why God did this is because King Saul was no longer being obedient to what God called him to do. He was doing stuff that he wanted to do. God told him to go to this town to go wipe out all of the Amalekites, and don't spare anybody, don't keep anything, destroy everything. And so God, King Saul, like a lot of us, try to rationalize and halfway obey God. So Saul, instead of doing exactly like God said, the way God said do it, he decided to destroy all the people, but then he decided to keep all the livestock and the animals that were good, because he's like, well, we don't want to destroy the animals, the livestock, because we could use that to worship God and sacrifice to God. He wasn't wholly obedient. He wasn't 100% obedient. Then he tried to rationalize his disobedience by saying, well, I'm going to take these animals that God told me to destroy and offer them back to God. Isn't that what we do a lot of times? God will tell us something specific to do, and we don't do it. We go do what we want to do, how we want to do it, make his plans our plans, and tinker with it. And then we're going to say, but we're going to give this to God. And then we're going to co-sign Jesus on it and say hallelujah on it. And God's going to accept it. But let's look and see what happens to King Saul, God's chosen anointed person. If you go to 1 Samuel 16, it says, God, when he gets ready to go take him, hold on. We messed that up. It's actually 1 Samuel 15, where Saul disobeys God. And if you scroll down, or if you turn the pages, if you got your Bible, a regular Bible, not a Google Bible like I do, if you go to 1 Samuel 15, verse 10, this is very critically important. Critical, important. If you're not obedient to God, there's consequences and repercussions. He messes up everything. Obedience is the key to the kingdom of heaven. If you look at verse 10, it says, the Lord told Samuel, Saul has stopped obeying me, and I'm sorry that I made him king. This is how Saul lost his position. It's not rocket science. It's not nebulous. He stopped obeying because God told him to destroy everybody and don't keep anything. Saul did half of what God said. He didn't do all of it. He destroyed the people, but then kept the stuff. How many times will God have told us to do something, and then we try to keep the stuff? We try to bring the stuff that we like along with us. No, I don't sing. I'm not going to sing. We're trying to do a serious Bible study here, and people want me to sing. I don't sing, and I don't hoop. So if you go to, scroll down, it says that verse 17, in verse 19, he says, Samuel says, why didn't you listen to the Lord? Why did you keep the animals and make him angry? And then Saul says, but I did listen to the Lord. He sent me on a mission. I went and I captured King Agag and I destroyed his nation. All the animals were going to be destroyed anyway. That's why the army brought the best sheep and cattle to Gilgal as sacrifices to the Lord, your God. So like Saul, a lot of us, me included, we get detailed instructions or even a simple word. God says, don't do this, leave that, stop doing that, separate. And instead, we alter plans of God and become disobedient in the process. And so then we try to clean it up and see what had happened was we try to make it right. So Saul is like, well, we're going to offer these sacrifices to God. Now listen to what Samuel says here. This is going to set some people free. I might even sing. In verse 22, he says, Samuel says, does the Lord really want sacrifices and offerings? No, he doesn't want your sacrifices. He wants you to obey him. See, a lot of times people will try to tell you that God wants sacrifices, a sacrificial seed, a sacrifice offering, sow the seed, move, make the hand of God move. God said, the prophet said, he doesn't want your sacrifices and offerings. He wants your obedience. And we just find it so hard to be obedient because we don't want to go through the process. We don't want to go through the process. We want to find some kind of way to circumvent, shortcut, short circuit a way to get what we want or get to the position or the place that God wants us to get to, but we don't want to go through the process. It's just like saying you want to plant apple trees or peaches, because I'm from Georgia, so we're going to plant peaches. You plant the seeds, but then you don't want to go through the process and the time that it takes for those seeds, for the tree to grow, to produce fruit. We want to find some kind of way just to get the peaches. We want to get to the point quick, fast, in a hurry. And that's why a lot of us, me included, will fall for the prosperity gospel, for the prosperity pimps, for the prosperity prophets, because they are always telling us ways to circumvent the process. When God wants, King Saul ended up losing his position because he was not. It's really, you know, I can just stop the Bible study and, you know, go watch March Madness basketball tournament because it boils down to obedience. Plain and simple. There's no way to get around it. If you're trying to get from point A to B, you're trying to get to the destination or the place where God wants you to get to, you go through the process. And where you are is where you're supposed to be. God will tell you or move you when it's time. And he'll tell you what to do. So many times people will try to get you to move out of season, to do something out of season. It's like planting seeds out of season. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of, if you go to a lot of these new, you know, restaurants that have menus that change every day and every week, they change because they only use the freshest ingredients that are from foods that are in season. It's all about being in season. If you want to be fresh, people always say, I want a fresh word from God. But then you don't want to do anything in season. Everything goes in season. That's why Jesus is terrible and so in Mark chapter 4 that we talked about. It's about doing things in season. It's about going through the process. So Saul didn't want to go through the process. He halfway obeyed God and ended up doing it his way and then tried to come back and do some sacrifices and offerings. And God didn't want the sacrifices in offerings. He didn't. And a lot of us refuse to do what God tells us to do. We're always looking for a way out of the process. You have to go through those phases. And I think hopefully I'll be able to get to that. But let's look at another part of process. If you look at 1 Samuel 16, the prophet Samuel was sent to give a word to anoint the next king because Saul had messed up because he stopped being obedient. He stopped listening to God. He started doing his own thing. So then Samuel is sent. And his job is to look at, or his job wasn't to look at, his job was to be obedient to the voice of God and pick and select the next king. So let's look at what happens in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. 1 Samuel 16, 7. Well, actually, let's go back to verse 6. Samuel walks into a room and Jesse and all his sons are there lined up, presenting themselves to be the next king. And so when we get to verse 7, verse 6, when they arrive, Samuel the prophet took one look at Eliab and thought, surely this is the Lord's anointed. He looked at him. He had the swag. He had flavor. He had the looks. He was. And what did God say in verse 7? God said, the Lord said to Samuel, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I have rejected him. The Lord doesn't see things the way you see them. People judge by outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Because in the heart is where the seed, the word, the instructions are sown. That's where you are. Obedient to God is in your heart. God looks at the heart. He doesn't look at your swag, your flavor, your anointing, your degrees, your position, your title, all these accoutrements that we have. God doesn't look at that stuff. He looks at the heart. So a lot of times when you're going through your process, people will look at the outward appearance of your process and be like, man, you need to quit. You need to stop. Why are you doing that? What are you doing? You shouldn't do that. It don't look good. It don't look right. It's not. But that's not how God works. That's not how the kingdom works. God will tell you something in your heart to be obedient to. And regardless of what it looks like, forget how the outward appearance looks. You're supposed to be able to be obedient. And I mean, I use myself as an example. This dining room table was the only thing that we had in 2011 when we lost everything. I had to move back to Birmingham. And the only thing I took back to Birmingham to my parents' house was this dining room table. Now, on the outward appearance, it looked like I was completely out of the will of God. I had no money. We was broke. All I had was this dining room table. That was 5 years ago. 5 years later, I mean, we're in a house. We got, you know, more than enough stuff that I need to try to get rid of some stuff. But in the process, you would not have I would not have known I would be where I am today 5 years ago if I'd have been looking at the outward appearance of how everything looked. It doesn't go by the outward appearance of how things look. Just like the process of seed, because we're talking about going through the process. When you get a word from God or you hear from God about something you're supposed to do, you get instructions from the kingdom. The parable of the sower, it gives the illustration of the word, logos, the seed that's planted. So let's look at the process. Jesus gives an illustration, a parable about the word, which is seed being planted, and that seed in the, being planted in people's heart. Where if you get the word and instruction from God, the enemy is gonna come, trials and tribulations gonna come. There are things you're gonna have to endure before that seed takes root and produces fruit 36-fold. So let's look at the phases, the process. Well, the first thing it says when you're planting seed is that it has to be planted. The ground has to be prepared. You just can't go out there and just plant seed and expect that seed to take root and grow and produce fruit. And it says in the process that the springtime is the right season to plant seed. Like I said before, a lot of us try to do stuff, me included. We try to do things out of season. We will be somewhere trying to plant seed in the summertime or plant seed in the wintertime and wondering why our efforts are not being met with fruit being produced in whatever endeavor or thing we're trying to do. Because God may have given you the instruction or the word to do something, but if you do it out of season, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. And so in phase one, the seed's growing conditions, it says it usually needs to be in a damp, warm, dark springtime soil, and the dry seed will stay dormant till it's soaked in some water. Then it will start to germinate. A lot of us don't like being in a dormant period, in a holding pattern, where it just seems like it's dark, we ain't heard nothing. Only thing we heard was what God said, and he's not saying anything else. Yeah, he's not saying anything else because he already told you what you needed to know for right now. So if you ain't heard anything new, you keep doing what he said do, and you go through the process. Just like the seed, it's planted in the ground, dark, dormant, but it needs to soak in some water. It needs to get that water. That's why the Bible says with the word, with the seed, some plant, some water. You need to constantly get water to have your mind renewed about the things of God so that you can continue to be motivated to be obedient to do what he says. And then sometimes the water might just be your own tears. You might just have to just cry your own tears in a situation because it's a hard situation. Because the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, we were talking about the seed. It says when the seed is sown, there are trials or persecution that comes because of the word. So sometimes you're just going to have to cry to produce your water. I mean, if I did hooping and singing and stuff like that, that would be a good point that would make y'all like do the running man. Y'all would really do the running man like right now. But, you know, I don't do all that. If you go to Mark 4, verse 19, it says, though, or verse 18, it says, those who are sown toward the thorns, these are like who are hear the word, and the next verse 19, and the anxieties of this age and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires concerning other things enter in and choke the word, and they become unfruitful. A lot of us don't graduate from the process, because as the scripture says, in verse 19, that the deceitfulness of riches, we want everything now, trying to get this money, trying to get this paper. And so we get distracted and we get off course and we stop being obedient to what God said over here because we're trying to get over there instead of going through the process and waiting. Part two is that he says the desires concerning other things enter in. The concerns of the world, fear, all these things enter in and cause people to cause the word that you received in your heart, the instructions from God, the commands, the mandate, the plan, everything that God said. Now, because of concerns, fear, anxieties, it ain't happened yet. I've been waiting and believing and hoping all this time and it still hasn't happened. Or I'm going through these trials and persecutions and tribulations and it nothing seems to look right. You can't get caught up in what it looks like. Or I mean, any of us would not be good farmers at all, because farmers have to have ultimate faith. They have to go out there, have to till the ground, prepare the soil, put the seeds out there, and they just have to have faith after they've done everything that they know to do. They just have to stand and believe that those seeds will come up after they go through the process. So a lot of us get the word choked out, as it says in verse 19, because of concerns and fears and anxieties, and it doesn't produce fruit. Your purpose, whatever it is, whatever God called you to do, whatever your point in life is to produce fruit. Produce fruit in the kingdom that gives him glory, that brings more people into the kingdom, that bring him glory. That's the whole point of getting the seed planted. And God doesn't look at the outward appearance. He looks at the heart. The heart is where the seed is planted, and the heart is where people determine, they purpose in their heart what they're going to do, if they're going to be obedient or not. I need some coffee. So, back to the phase of the seed. Hey, look, deacons, this coffee is cold. I like my coffee hot. It's hard to find good deacons nowadays. People be tripping, man. They be slacking and everything like that. Phase two of seeds, the roots and the sprout. The Bible talks about the seed taking root. You have to take root. Whatever it is that God told you in the kingdom, it has to take root. You have to take, you have to be so convinced and grounded and have faith and believe in what God is telling you to do. That's the only way you're going to be obedient. That's the only way Noah was obedient and built an ark that took years to do. It was a process. The ark, just God could have made the ark fall down out the sky the day it rained or the day before. And all the animals could have just popped up in there. And Noah wouldn't have to do any work or go through any process. God could have done that. He could have just spoke the ark into the existence. But no, God wanted Noah to go through the process of building the ark. It's about process. A lot of us want to believe these silly wizard, magical Disneyland prophetic preaching that tries to get people. I had to get rid of the armor bearers. The armor bearers, you know, some of the armor bearers, you know, these armor bearers now, I had an armor bearer meeting. Everybody's, I asked them where their Bibles were, and they didn't have Bibles. You know, they jeans was too tight. I mean, I had to get rid of all the armor bearers. So we back to deacons to answer your question. So back to the phases of the root. Phase two, it says that without roots, there's no way for the plant or the seed to absorb water to get to the leaves. And the roots are always located underground. And so by that, when God gives you a direction or instruction or plan, you need to keep it underground. You don't need to tell everybody what God's plans are, what he's planted, what seed is in you. You need to let it stay on the ground for a while. Don't tell everybody. Because if you tell everybody, some of those people you tell could be the enemy that comes to take the word, comes to take the seed. Sometimes you just got to just keep it to yourself. I know it's hard for us to do that because we like to go on Facebook and say, God told me to do this. God's about to bless me to do that. I got a word from God. God want me to start a new business. God want me to go back to school. And we always like to broadcast what we about to do, what we fixing to do, instead of just letting it sit underground, let it go through the process, let it grow, let it mature, let the fruit come. I mean, a lot of do what you need to do and then let it happen, let it manifest. We don't, even Jesus, when he would heal people, he would tell people all the time, don't go tell everybody. So we got to learn sometimes, we got to keep stuff to ourselves and just be able to submit and go through the process. So let's go to phase three. Phase three, stems, leaves, and transpiration. That's what it says. When you get to phase three is when you the plants pull water upward from the soil, and when the plants begin to break through the soil and begin to, you see the stems and you begin the growing process. And a lot of times, in order to make a lot of stuff grow, they say use fertilizer. Well, we know fertilizer is crap. And that's part of the process. If you go plant anything, whether it's flowers or fruit or vegetables, you're going to have fertilizer. Fertilizer is crap from animals. And sometimes, so apply that to yourself. A lot of times when God is telling you to do something or gives you a vision or a plan or whatever, you can best believe you're going to get a lot of crap from people. But don't be dismayed. Don't get disappointed. Don't get disheartened. Don't act a fool like I do. I don't do that no more. I'm saved now. Hallelujah. But that crap is sent there to fertilize your situation. You need that crap that people are crapping on you to help fertilize that seed so that it can grow. It's part of the process. So that's why I don't even talk about haters anymore. Haters bring crap, and haters help make things grow. I have watched over the last 5-6 years all the crap fertilized haters like to do. Hey, how y'all doing? I see you. But the fertilizer is there to help grow what God has placed in you, that seed. And so he will even send people to crap on you so that you can be, so you can get deep, so you can be, roots can continue to be deeply rooted and grow. And so that your plant, your seed will be able to push through and to produce fruit. So that's all part of the process. Phase four is when you get to the point to where you begin to see blooms and the flowers and the fruit begins to come. A lot of us don't make it to the fruit stage because we abandon or quit in the first three phases. But also understand in the fourth phase, when you begin to see the flowers and the fruit begin to show up, what does it say? The flowers develop to attract insects for pollination. So you're going to get the birds and the insects and these things coming to mess with you because that's going to help pollinate to help your seed, your garden grow even more. So when these things happen, the trials and tribulations and the persecution and the crap and the and now the insects are coming and trying to, all of that is a part of the process. Remember when we started this Bible study, we talked about David. David was anointed a king at 15, and then he had a 20-year process before he became king. But do you not realize the whole time David was going through process, King Saul was trying to kill him because he knew he was the next king. So David had to go through all kinds of crap, threats on his life. He was running. He was hiding. He had to play music for Saul to keep Saul sane and calm. Oh, today's sermon is crap is anointed. Yeah, crap is anointed. I had to learn that the hard way. I used to be so mad. I'd be like, God, why do I have all these haters? Especially, there's nothing like haters in your family. Those are the best. Those are great. But God will use those situations, family members, friends, foes, ex-friends, new friends. He'll use all that situation, whether they're insects. You know, those friends, foes, and family members could be insects. They could be birds. They could be crap. But they're all there to help your seed grow if you can be obedient to God and make it through the process. And another thing about the seed, all seed within itself has food within the seed, sustain the seed while it goes through the process of growing. God, what does it say to, you know, God doesn't put more on you than you can bear. Well, when he gives you that word and that seed, and that process you're going to go through, it has food in it to sustain you while you go through it. It may seem like it's barely enough, but that's enough. Barely enough is enough. And sometimes you might have to have, you have just enough so that you can continue to rely on God and trust in God and put your faith in God so you can be obedient. Because what happens? Y'all know, I'm going to tell you when most people backslide. Most people backslide when they get a refund check. When they get a refund check, they're not listening to God anymore. They're going to do what they want to do, how they want to do, and they're not asking God anything. They get that refund check. They are no longer obedient, especially if Facebook tried to cut me off, but we weren't receiving it. We weren't having it. So we about to close out. We got 6 minutes left. This is really going fast. I'm going to try to get this down to 30 minutes. I'm trying to get it down to 30 minutes. But what I want you all to take from this Bible study is you are where you are supposed to be. And when we look at phase five, is that it says seed contains everything necessary to produce a new plant. That's why Jesus says when seed is sown on good ground, it's able to produce 30, 60, 100 fold. When you have seed that was planted in a good heart, good soil, you go through the process, you endure the trials and tribulations, you go through the time, whether it's a week, a year, 10 years, 15 years, whatever your process time is, everybody's time is not going to be the same. Even when you go through the microwave process, it takes longer to microwave popcorn than it does to heat up my coffee. It, you know, I might put this on 20 seconds, but microwave is a minute 45. And then some of the people who really can't cook that good, you might try to put a turkey in a microwave and you might have to set your microwave to 10 minutes. I don't know. But everybody's process is different. Everybody's time is different. And you can't let people discourage you and make you feel bad that because your fruit has not manifested yet, that your seed hasn't produced yet. Everybody's seed process time is different. And so you have to have continued trust in God in order for you to produce your fruit in its season and its time. So all I want to say is encourage people to understand that you are where you're supposed to be. Continue to listen to God, get instruction from God, and God will send pastors, teachers, evangelists, and prophets to confirm what it is you already know you're supposed to do. And the Holy Spirit will tell you when they are telling you Steve Harvey, Prophet Brian Karn lies. Like, you know, when Steve Harvey went up there and said, the winner is, well, you got some prophets that'll get up there and tell you you're supposed to do and God didn't say you're supposed to do, or you're supposed to move, or you're supposed to step out when a part of your process is to be where you are, to get what you need, to get at that particular season, so that when the harvest time comes, that you'll be able to produce fruit in 30, 60, and 100 fold. So I'm glad everybody tuned in today, took time out your busy schedule. Like I said, I'm going to try to get these things down to like 30 minutes, because I know y'all don't like being in church all day. And I'm kind of upset right now because the deacons have failed me with this coffee. We got to work on the coffee ministry. I don't want my coffee to be cold. I mean, just like your bishop doesn't like his water to be warm, he wants his chalice of water to be like room temperature, or just have a little chill to it. You know, it's really hard to be it's hard to find good armor bearers and deacons. So we're going to work on that. And I want to, you know, I pray that you all will be able to find peace in the process. I pray that you find peace in the process. It's all about process. If you go look at my Facebook page, I post a picture of a seed and the process of the seed going from a seed into the plant producing fruit. That's how it is in the kingdom. Don't let anybody fool you otherwise to try to get you think that there's some microwave prosperity you can give and sow and circumvent, shortcut the things and the plans and purposes of God. You can't do it. You got to go through the process. Now, you can quit if you want to and abort the process, but then that's going to be on you. And then also, you can go run to those people who have genetically modified seed that are trying to get you to get a quick word with quick manifestation, but that's going to end up harming you, damage you in the long run, just like if you eat all these processed GMO foods. You got to just stay and eat GMO-free, organic, holistic food. That's what we try to do right here on Break Bread. We try to keep it organic, holistically. What y'all talking about? Handles and drinks and hankies and towels. What? Also, I want to give a honorable mention to my apostolic bishop, Sam Mazza. He's a real apostolic bishop, and he has plenty of weapons. He has a lot of weapons in the Lord. And so it's 2:00, church is over. So normally, what do y'all do when y'all get done with church? You go to the Waffle House, International House of Pancakes, wherever it is you go, go break bread, and we'll see you next week. Lord willing. Break bread. DeJuan Coley.